Father, I want to thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for the power of God that gives us physical strength. The blood of Jesus Christ that gives us mental strength. Father, I pray that you would anoint my mind. You see the difficulty that I have in communicating, using the right words. I pray, God, that you would anoint the ears, that they might be able to hear the word that you would speak to them this morning. Father, let us be cognizant, let us be aware of the hour that we live in, the place where we stand as a people and as individuals, and the result of it, my God, that can be good or it can be bad. Give us spiritual insight. Father, it is not so much the words that I speak as it is the spirit that is in the word. So we ask that you have preeminence today in this place. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We're going to have to pay attention today. There is a word that the Lord has. He is going to be revealing it to you over and over again. Hello. God bless you. Good to see you both. And it's going to require your spiritual attention. It's going to require your spiritual diligence. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There is a parable in the Bible, or really it's an actual story, in Matthew, and I think it's also in Luke, maybe the other Gospels as well. Jesus was sharing with them a parable about the sower. And it wasn't so much the sower that I want to bring your attention to. It was what Jesus said to the disciples after the parable was spoken. They came to him and they asked him, "Why are you talking to them in parable?" And one of the things that he said to them is that he was not going to talk to them in parable, to his disciples. He was going to talk to them very clearly, very concisely. Well, that's all well and good, and I suppose they were very excited about that. You know, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. They could probably have sung some kind of victory song and patted each other on the back and thought that they were a special club. Amen? Hallelujah. But there's one thing I know. It increased their spiritual liability. Because it says, unto whom much is given, much is required. It also says that if you know to do right, and you do it at not, and you do it, then it's sin. Hello? Did you hear me? Praise the Lord. So I hope you're paying attention today. If you have a cell phone, I hope you turned it off. Because, you know, no matter how important it may have been, what God is wanting to tell to you is going to be much more important. And you're going to have to pay attention. The devil's going to want to distract you. Our children are going to be wanting to get up, go outside, play, drink water, go potty, whatever the case may be. But we have to discipline our children. Hallelujah. To be able to sit in the presence of God and listen. Hallelujah. They're never too young to learn. Believe me, I know. I got enough of them. Hallelujah. I have two of my grandchildren sitting in a meeting, much like this one. They were 3 years old at the time. And Brother Duseo was bringing a message on the blood. Now, have you ever heard Brother Duseo minister on the blood? It's very deep, very profound, and very difficult to follow. In fact, I was having trouble. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
But both of those children got saved in that meeting. The one crawled up in my lap, and she said, "Grandpa, I do not want to be naughty anymore." Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And she accepted the Lord as her personal Savior. So if you're waiting to teach your children till they come of a certain age that you think that they can understand, you're making a mistake. Hallelujah. Amen. You need to be teaching them prior to and the advent of being birthed. My goodness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because it says that it is God that opened and shutteth the womb. And especially true with you and I. Now why am I talking about all of this? There must be some reason. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we have a spiritual responsibility. A spiritual responsibility to teach our children to do what is the right thing. Praise God.
Amen.
If we teach them to do the right thing, we're going to be convicted of the thing that we're not doing that is right, not right. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The church. Now, when I talk to you about church, I'm not talking to you about outer court. Outer court is done. Did you hear me? Outer court is done. Hello, are you there? Outer court is done. And anything that is outer court in the holy place is going to be treated and judged as outer court. Hello? Hallelujah. Now, if you think that you're in a place of safety because you have a holy place church word, you're mistaken. Hallelujah. Because the outer court, although given unto the Gentiles, hallelujah, it says that in the holy place, there is going to be something called the desolation of abomination. And it's not something that is coming in from the outside. It is something that is rising up in the midst of the church. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So when I talk to you about church, I'm not talking about the outer court church per se. I'm talking about you and I, who have heard a particular word that made us to come out of the outer court into the inner court. The problem is, many of us have not been delivered from the outer court mentality.
Yes, sir.
Oh, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And God is now in the business of delivering us from that position or that place or that mentality. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something else. And I believe it's by the word of the Lord. There's a little story in Acts that deals with two individuals who were in the move of God, and they were moving with the rest of the church, but they weren't moving under the same position of covering that some of the others in the church were moving. They were called Ananias and Sapphira. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, although it had to do with physical substance, it's physical goods, it says first the natural, then the spiritual. Ananias is a warning to the Holy Place Church, to the people who desire to be participating with God in the end time. They are a signpost. Did you hear me? They are a warning to the Church of God. Hallelujah. That to move in a frivolous or presumptuous manner with God in this arena, it can cost you your life. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Did you hear me?
Amen.
Now, you probably really don't want to hear this word. We come to have a good time, praise the Lord, and do all the things that we do in church when we gather together. But we are living in a very serious time. Very serious time. Hallelujah. Very serious time. The devil is marshaling his forces. Hallelujah. The spirit of perdition is working to bring forth the fullness of the manifestation of the son of devil. Son of perdition. Hallelujah. And to whatever degree that we have not yet dealt with that perdition spirit that is in us as a people. Hallelujah. there is an effect of the judgment that is coming upon that individual that will come upon us. Praise the Lord. Can you hear me? Are you really listening to me this morning? Are you sure? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to make sure you're awake. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, I have a word that the Lord spoke to me this morning early on. You can turn with me. You've heard it before, but you are now going to hear it again. Hallelujah. Revelation, the 18th chapter. Hallelujah. Now, let me tell you something. I suppose it's in a way of credentials. I don't know. Hallelujah. I did not come here with a preconceived idea. I did not come here by studying the scriptures and getting a word for you. I did not come here because you're having a convention. I came because God sent me. Hallelujah. You know, I find as I get older, there is a comfort for me to sit at home and to have my children around me and to have my grandchildren around me. There is a comfort and a security that comes to me in that environment. And I am finding it more and more difficult to leave that environment, to go out and to do this type of thing. Praise the Lord. Because it requires a lot of time. It requires a lot of energy. Energy which I am finding is not so easily replaced as it once was. We can pack our bags, get into the plane, travel, get out, come into a meeting, minister for 5 or 6 hours, go to bed, get up, come back and do it, and get out and leave, and then get up at home, get back in the plane, and go wherever it is that God was sending us. And there didn't seem to be too much of a ramification. It isn't that way anymore. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Sister Mavis once said to me concerning her own situation that the Lord had said something to her about it being by reason of strength. Hallelujah. So when the Lord begins to deal with me about coming to some place that's going to take me 28 hours, of travel to get there, I have to be really sure that I'm hearing from God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I am learning to sit and to wait upon God. Hallelujah. But it was very clear, very concise. Hallelujah. Our schedule the last 5 months has been very busy. Very busy. We have been going to, this makes probably my fifth or sixth conference in the last 5 months. And the word basically is the same word. It's just that the intensity of it is growing. And the necessity of it seems to be more predominant. And the burden and the pressure upon us to go seems to be ever more increasing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I trust that in these meetings, you will be able to hear and retain what it is that God is saying. There's one other thing I want to mention. I find it very necessary in my own experience to go back over the tapes. We go through a lot of trouble, you know, to tape the meetings and to edit them and to get them into format and put them into an MP3 where you are able to have that information free of charge. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of labor. Many of you take the tapes, many of you take the discs, and you set them on the shelf, and you never listen to them again. Hello?
Aye.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Don't tell me you don't, because I know that you do. I've been in the church for 50 years or more. Hallelujah. Not the church out there, the end time church. I didn't spend much time in the organized church. God called me out at a very young age. And it put me under the auspices and the authority of this word. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And I cut my spiritual teeth here in Africa. This is where I cut my spiritual teeth.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Amen.
So I know all about the principalities. Or at least I know something. Hallelujah.
Right.
I know all about the plans of of hell, and God has been, for some reason, revealing to me the network of the devil. And I want to tell you something, people. It's so slick, so smooth, it's scary. It is so efficient. Now, I don't know what you think when you think devil. Maybe you think disorganized, maybe you think confused, maybe you think mixed up or are kind of fighting in and amongst themselves. And that all is true in some respect. But the devil runs a tight ship.
Oh,
yes. Hello?
Yes.
Did you hear me?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The devil runs a tight ship. And as we, as sons of God, potentiality, get into the flow of God and get connected with heaven, we will not survive. Some of you here will not make it. Some of us here, I say us, some of us here will not make it because we're not going to put the importance upon it. There's going to be other things in our lives that are going to be distracting us. Hallelujah. We have been part-time Christians. Hello? We have been part-time Christians, which is an out-of-court mentality. You go to church and you go out and you live. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can't do that in this message any longer. Hallelujah. You come in and you die. Hello? Did you hear me? You come in and you die. Hallelujah. Paul said it this way. He said, I am crucified with Christ. And Paul's life was exemplary in that respect. Everything, he spent more time in prison than he did out. Hello? Are you there?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We as a people, we as a people overall have not had that experience. We may have a little tribulation here, a little tribulation there, a little tribulation over here. But our life is not one tribulation on top of another tribulation. And in the midst of the tribulation, we're having to give up the essence of who we are. Hallelujah. Paul said he counted what he was as done. Hello? We haven't come to that point, unfortunately. Hallelujah. We haven't come to the place where we can empathize with Paul in his position or his condition. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Revelation, the 18th chapter. Hallelujah. He says, after these things, verse number 1, I saw another angel come down from heaven having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory. Hallelujah. There is going to, Joel talks about an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He says, in those days, what days? Those last days. The days of the end times, the days that we are living in. Hallelujah. He says, in those days, I'm going to do what? Pour out my Spirit. He said, I'm going to pour it out on all flesh. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, you know I can say amen to that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But I don't really understand the ramifications of it. Do you know that the Spirit of God that is poured out upon me can produce good or bad? Hello? Are you there?
Yes.
You're not there.
Yes.
Huh? It can produce good or bad. Hallelujah. Jesus had 12 disciples. He was pouring out his glory upon them. Huh? The glory that I have with the Father, I give it unto them. Was Judas there? Did you think John 17, Judas was still in that position of the 12? Do you think he was right there interacting with Jesus and the 12 as one of the 12? Absolutely. The supper had not come yet. That experience had not yet happened. Hello?
Yeah.
And he says, the glory that I have with the Father, I now give it to them.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. And the glory of the 11 was different than the glory that came forth in the midst of Judas' soul. Hello?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Oh my, you wanted to hear something else, didn't you? mother's heart, the pride of my father's life. Huh? Hallelujah. But I was a perditious soul. I had the spirit of perdition inside of me. I had the spirit of hell working, already functioning, to bring forth the revelation of hell and death. Hallelujah. You know, there's so much I want to share with you. I got up this morning, and it was like a wave coming in on me. And I do know that even with all the time we have, hallelujah, we will have the opportunity to share it all. And I'm trying to hear very, very clearly from God how to proceed. My goodness. Hallelujah. There is so much that God is bringing out in this hour concerning hell and the operation of it. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know why it is that God chose to reveal hell to me, except for the fact in the revelation of knowing how it works, we can know how to destroy it. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Paul was one, he says, I don't fight as one that beateth the air. Hallelujah. Amen. But I fight as one knowing what it is I am fighting. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Acts chapter 18. I'm coming there. I'm trying to get there. And it says, after these things, and having power, and the earth was lighted with his glory. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There was a prayer that was prayed in Ephesians, the first chapter, I believe, or chapter 2, one or the other. Hallelujah. And it was said that the eyes of our understanding might be what? Enlightened. Oh yeah, we can say hallelujah to that, right? Yeah. Praise the Lord. But because we're thinking me. My eye. Being enlightened. But it says my eyes need to be enlightened in consideration of what his inheritance is. Not mine.
Amen.
No amen. Except one. The eyes of my understanding being enlightened. Oh, what about my ministry? What about my position of preeminence? What about my revelation? What about my ability to do good? What about my ability to prosper the work of God? If you're not prospering, or doing, or moving, or ministering under the reality of the revelation that it is not you, it is the head, it is Christ. Hallelujah. We can say it is Christ. We can be very religious about it. God is not interested in religion. Hallelujah. God is wanting sons. And sons not of an individual, independent nature. Hallelujah. He wants sons that are submissive, not for the sake of what they are going to get in God, but for the sake that they love the Father. Hallelujah.
Amen.
They love the Father. Hallelujah. One of the first things that the Lord talked to me very many years ago, several years ago when he started to send me back out again, he said to me, he said, the hearts of my people have turned away from me. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, they do not seek me for who I am. They seek me for what they seek me for the revelation that is about me. Hello? Hallelujah. Did you hear me?
Yes.
Hallelujah. You are probably one of the most versed people. There has been so much time, so much energy, so much labor that has been poured into you as a people concerning the end time. You are probably one of the most blessed people of the whole earth, because it was here that God came to deposit the word of God.
Yeah, right.
Hallelujah. I was here. Hallelujah. I was here. What was it? 20 years ago? 25 years ago? Hallelujah. When God came to a poor and beggarly people. Hallelujah. Of course, you didn't have money, you didn't have time, you didn't have energy. All you had was bondage and suppression and spiritual positions of incarceration. But when the word of God begins to come to you as a people, hallelujah, God begins to work within you and begin to bring forth a reality of His kingdom. And you begin to see something by the Spirit, and you begin to hear something by the ear. And it changed your life. It changed your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But in your prosperity. Oh yeah, that's it. In your prosperity, you have lost your hunger for God. Hallelujah. You're doing everything that you can possibly do not to go back and find yourself again in that position. Hallelujah. There have been divisions and schisms, not because of doctrine and this and that, but because of your self-sufficiency and your position of preeminence and your ability to provide and self-sustain yourself. Oh yes! Hallelujah. I'm not talking by some man that has been speaking in my ear. Hallelujah. Many years ago when I was here, it was the last visit that I came before God took me out of the circuit. I told this church, hallelujah, by the word of the Lord, you have been tried in poverty. And you have been found favor in God's sight. And that God was now going to prosper you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And my parting words to you were, I hope that you do as well in prosperity as you have done in poverty. But you have not. You have not. You have not done as well because you no longer need each other. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something about the economical system. Do you know that God is going to touch it? Do you know that God is going to touch it? That He's even now working in that arena? Do you know that He's going to touch your money? Did you hear me? He's going to touch it. Oh yes, we can say, oh yes, He's going to touch it. No, no, no. He is touching it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He is touching it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know that the economics of the world are changing. I am not a financial person. Come on. I don't follow the financials. It's a mess to me. It's confusing. The tracking of thoughts and this and that and that and this, thou, that, or whoever, thou, what. Hallelujah. I'm not telling you what I read in the paper or see on the internet. I'm telling you what God has put in my heart to tell you. Hallelujah. There is a story about a woman in Germany. Very wealthy lady. Brother Duchil was the one who brought the story. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And she was planning on helping the church build their new addition. Hallelujah. And she was delaying and stalling. And then finally one day she made up her mind to go and to help the church. And so she went down with her money to give it to the overseer. Hallelujah. And when the overseer looked at her and looked at her money and looked back at her, and he said, "Sister, it is too late." Hello? Because Hitler has just changed the money system. And what she had was enough to build a fire. And all she had at the end of the day was ashes. God is going to touch the money. God is even now touching the money. Hallelujah. When I was in the Czech Congress, God began to reveal to me that the system of money is now changing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You yourself are aware of it. I believe that some portion of some control of your money is now gone off of the dollar and off onto the Chinese monetary system. Oh God, you're trusting the Chinese? My God, you're trusting the Chinese. Hallelujah. Oh my God. Oh, that's like having the devil as a partner. Hallelujah. In business. How many of you want the devil as a partner? You think he's compassionate? You think he's humane? You think he considers your plight, your position, your place? The only thing that one thing and only thing the devil is worried about is your destruction. Hallelujah. You know, Switzerland used to be the hiding place for money. Hallelujah. No longer that, did you know that? It's changing to China. Hallelujah. Now, you know, as Christians, I believe that God brings us a word. It was in 2010 that the Lord gave me a word for the church concerning money. Hallelujah. He said, tell the church, tell the people, this is the year to buy gold. This was in 2010. And that's the only thing that the Lord spoke to me. So I went around and I began to tell people, this was what the Lord said to me. You know, I even called up people who have blessed me over the years, who have been faithful to help me as I needed help over the years. I called them up. I said, you know, for what it's worth, I want to give you a word that the Lord spoke to me. God said, this is the year to buy gold. Hallelujah. So whether they bought gold or they didn't buy gold, I don't know. But when I was telling them to buy gold, gold was at $700 an ounce. Oh, that seems like a lot of money, doesn't it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But it's now over $1,600 an ounce. Hallelujah. Oh, my goodness. Hallelujah. And I went to the Lord about it. Lord, I'm telling people to buy gold. I don't have money to buy gold. What am I supposed to do? God said, this is the year to buy gold. And I said, maybe you didn't hear me, God. Of course, you don't say that, right? Maybe you didn't hear me, God. I said, I don't have money to buy gold. And God said to me, this is the year to buy gold. And I said to him, okay, I can buy spiritual gold. Because gold is indicative of the nature of God. And I said to him, I can buy spiritual gold. We like to spiritualize it, don't we? Huh? Hallelujah. And God said to me, this is the year to buy gold. And I finally got the message. I'm slow sometimes, you know. I finally got the message. This was the year to buy gold. And it didn't make any difference how much money I had or I didn't have. That if I had a little bit of money and I could buy a little bit of gold, I was being obedient to the word of God. And if I'm obedient to the word of God, it is God's responsibility to move in my on the basis of my obedience and to provide for me what I need in what I don't have. My goodness. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go back here. Praise the Lord. It says, second, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, Babylon the great is fallen. It has become the habitation of devils and the home of every foul spirit, the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. Hallelujah. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacy. My God. You know something? There is a position or a place of responsibility that I have, that I am making sure that I have the word of God, that I have separated myself from these attributes of this system. Amen. Hello? Did you hear me that? Did you hear that? Do I need to repeat it again?
Yes.
Huh? Yes. I have a responsibility because all those things apply to me. Why?
because I'm not perfect. I'm coming out. But yet there are attachments that I have. And I have to go to God to get a word from God that I'm clean.
Amen.
Did you hear me? I have to go to God and ask Him if I'm clean. And you know, sometimes God is funny in some things. The way He does things. There are certain things about me I cannot see. I can't see them. There's so much ingrained, so much a part of me, so much me. I can't see them. I can fast. I can pray. I can storm heaven. Hallelujah. And yet I can't see them. That's why God has ministry in the body. He has eyes in the body. He has ears in the body. Hallelujah. He has fingers of feeling in the body. He has noses in the body. Hallelujah. Amen. And you know something else? I may not like the nose. I may not like the nose that sniffs me out. I may not like the ear that is hearing something about me. I may not like the feeling that someone is giving about me. Hello? Hallelujah. So I have to be very, very, very careful. Very, very sensitive. Hallelujah. Not to be offended.
Oh, yes.
Hello?
Oh, yes.
I have to be very sensitive in the spirit.
Amen.
Not to be offended.
Amen.
It's not easy. It's impossible. That's why it's called death to self. Do you know that any gospel that does not preach death to self? Any gospel that does not preach and tell you that you will have to suffer. Any gospel that says that the tribulation isn't the tribulation for you is a false doctrine.
Amen.
They may use all the terms of sonship.
That's right.
They may use all the revelation of sonship.
That's right.
I sat in a congregation at the back of a meeting, and there was a man that got up. He was smooth. Oh, he was slick. He had the terminology. He was dressed very well. He had on good shoes. Hallelujah. And he looked professional. And he was professional. He had doctor in front of his name and several letters after it. He had a successful church. Many healings. And he's sharing with us those experiences. And he's using all of the sons of God terminology. Because as a young man, he was under the auspices of this word. Until iniquity was found in him. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? Something in his heart began to rise up and began to desire the position of preeminence. Something in his heart began to work within the fabric of his character. Hallelujah. And he began to work his wiles and began to extend his tentacle to wrest control of the work of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah!
Amen.
Hallelujah! Amen. Hallelujah! Many years later, I saw this man, and he had grown up.
Hallelujah.
He hit all the high points. Hallelujah! Overcoming,
sons of God, two witness company. Hallelujah. Being filled with Christ, moving in victory and power. There was nothing, 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 nothing about death to self. Hallelujah. There was nothing about the decreasing of his position of preeminence.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And the eventual exaltation of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There was no message. Hallelujah. That he must die. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, you go through the word of the apostles of Jesus Christ. My God. And you hear again and again. Hallelujah. Their position of unworthiness. You see their position of humility. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is not the same gospel.
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Did you hear me?
Yes.
It is not the same gospel.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It is a different gospel. To detract, detour, and to subvert and divert you from the reality of the goal that God has set in His Word. And the end of it is destruction. Destruction for you. Destruction for the work of God. And for the destruction of the ambition that is in God. God has an ambition. Do you know that God is ambitious? There is an ambition in God. That's why God reaches down and picks out the lowest of the low. The dumbest of the dumb. You know, I learned a long time ago. You know, I was kind of getting puffed up in the fact of the calling and the election. And that was all my life. And God said to me, He says, Brother Bert, consider the ox. I knew what God was talking about. Isn't that something? God didn't say a word to you that seemingly is out of the blue and you know exactly what He's talking about. Have you ever considered the ox? He's stubborn.
Ox.
Ox. Ox. O-S.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. He said to me, consider the ox. Have you ever looked at the ox? Huh? He's slow. He's not too intelligent. He's a brute. He's independent. Huh? Hallelujah. The fact of the matter is, when they drive him, they have to goad him. They got to get a sharp stick and drive him with a sharp stick. Hallelujah. But ox is a type of ministry. Hello? Ox don't come with a chair up here. Or a chair right here. You know, that's not ox mentality. Huh? Hallelujah. That's not ox mentality. Hallelujah. It's the on the boat, you said when it's sinking, it's men and women first. In the boat that belongs to the church, it's ministry first. Ministry first. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Ministry is supposed to be serving.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Expanding.
Amen.
Dying. Hallelujah. Hello, are you there?
Yes.
Are you sure you're here?
Yes.
I think you're somewhere else. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, there is so much that is going on. It was in one of our conferences many years ago, 4 years ago now, I think, that the Lord came to me, and it was after the conference. He came to me, I was waking up out of my sleep. And as I was coming up out of that place of sleep, the Lord came into my room. And He said to me, He says, tell the brethren,
Because,
well, this is what I'm just telling you what he told me.
Because you are the finger that is upon the hand, that is attached to the, that is a part of the arm, that is attached to the body. It has touched a spiritual reality. It has touched a spiritual kingdom. And I mean in a kingdom of hell. It has touched a kingdom of hell. And because of it, there has been a spirit loosed against the body. And I said to the Lord, you mean a religious spirit? And God said, no. It's a spiritual spirit. Hallelujah. And I said to the Lord, I said, what is a spiritual spirit? He said, it is a spirit of revelation.
Hallelujah.
The Bible says that the angel will come, the devil will come as what? An angel of light. The devil will come as an angel of light. Not to the heathen. Not to the outer court. But to the inner court. He's going to come as a spirit of revelation. Hallelujah. Amen. And the revelation that will come is a deception. And it's meant to derail you and I. It is meant to detract, detour, subvert, and divert us from the reality of what it is that God wants. Hallelujah. Now, you can quote to me that scripture. If it were possible, even the elect would be deceived. Hallelujah. Well, the only thing that makes it impossible is my position and proximity to God.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Not in revelation. Did you hear? Not in revelation, but in a personal, viable position of relationship with God. In my private place, I'm with God in the body.
Oh, you like the private place, but you don't like the body.
Did you hear me? I will be deceived if I do not discern the body. No. I don't say harmony for the sake of the body. I didn't say that. Did you hear me? I didn't say that. I didn't say harmony for the sake of the body.
Hallelujah.
I said harmony with God. So that we can have harmony with the body.
Hallelujah.
It doesn't say I have to like the body or the parts or the pieces of the body. But it says I must be in tune with God and with the body.
Hallelujah.
The word of God says I must have clean heart.
Huh?
Pure heart and clean hands. Did you hear me? Clean. Did you hear me? No blood. No dirt. No filth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Clean hands toward God. Hallelujah. Pure thought and intent to the brethren. My God. Not for the sake of the body, but for the sake of the head, which is Christ. Loose. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you know, we can go on in times past. We have been able to go on and say that we are in agreement. agreement and be in disagreement. And it seems like our disagreement was being ratified by the fact of nothing happening that was as necessarily crisis or catastrophic. It's no longer going to be that way. Hallelujah. There are two levels of tribulation. Did you hear me? Two levels of tribulation. There is the one tribulation that comes because of sin. And then there is the tribulation that comes for the sake of righteousness. And we come from the tribulation of sin, which is the brazen altar, into the Holy of Holies, and come to the altar of golden incense, a golden altar of incense. That is the tribulation for the sake of righteousness. Hallelujah. I am out here in the outer court, and I'm having bad thoughts, and I'm having bad intentions, and moving in bad ways concerning His body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And tribulation comes to me. And then I'm over here, and I get slapped on the face, and I'm asked to turn the other cheek. I'm being tribulated for the sake of righteousness. I have the responsibility to determine what I am being tribulated for. Holy Ghost did not give me the power just to speak in tongues. Holy Ghost does not give me the power just to prophesy. Holy Ghost does not give me the power to cast out demons. Holy Ghost is given to me for one reason alone. It is that I might know truth. That I might embrace truth. Hallelujah. Romans, the 8th chapter says, concerning the Holy Spirit, it searches the inward parts of my belly. It doesn't say it's the Holy Ghost has given me to search the inward parts of your belly. And yet I seem to think I have a responsibility to pick out all your negative attributes. I seem to think I have a responsibility, if not a right, to be indignant about something in your character that aggravates or vexes me. Oh yes, I can justify it on the basis of my self-presumed righteousness. Hallelujah! My mother used to say, whenever your finger points this way, Bert, there are four of them that are pointing back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My mother gets wiser and wiser all the time as I get older and older. Hallelujah. You know, there's a time period in there. You get dumber, you know. Your kids think you're dumb. You don't know anything. You don't know how to do anything. They think they have all the wisdom. They think they have all of the insight. They think they have all of the strength and the vitality. And they think that you should be working for them instead of you working for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I came up. I know. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you there's hope. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Because somewhere you start getting smarter. I don't know where it is. Somewhere you start getting smarter. And they start showing some sort of appreciation. You know, sometimes some of the things that come out of some of my children's mouth, I said, did you really mean that? Hallelujah. 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 Back over here into Revelation.
Hallelujah.
And it says, I have heard another voice out of heaven say, did you hear it? In the midst of this devil position of carnality and traffic, in this devil business of life and living, of this devil nature that I'm having to deal with, there is another word that is being issued out of heaven.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Another word, do you hear me? Being issued. Hallelujah. There's something about the word that God trumpets. That word has the ability to change things. That word has the ability to alter circumstances. That word has the ability to move into a situation that is impossible and make it totally and absolutely possible and probable. But I have to hear the word.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, many, many, many times throughout my life and in the business of God, I have been confronted by individuals and certain things being laid at my door. And there's something that I have learned to do. I have learned to listen. Listening is not easy. Somebody comes to you and begins to say something that is against you, or, and all of a sudden you want to defend yourself. Or am I the only one who wants to do that? Huh? It's especially true in husband and wife relationships. Uh-oh, getting careful here, getting close. It's especially true in husbands and wives relationships. Husband says something to wife, wife does not appreciate it. Hallelujah. Wife says something to husband or does something that husband doesn't want done or that husband doesn't think should be done. And husband begins to respond. Hallelujah. And the tension in you, the stress in you. Am I the only one who feels this way? Huh? What is this thing? Have you ever asked, what is this feeling? You know what it is? It's self-preservation. This lack of God's awareness and reality in my life. The minute I begin to defend myself over some issue or retaliate or retort within some circumstance, I have moved out of the spirit and into the flesh.
Yes, yes.
Oh, now you're in trouble. Hallelujah. Now you're in trouble. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I have to use every ounce of my spiritual integrity, my spiritual maturity. I have to use every ounce of it to bite my tongue. Because if I don't, I'm out of the spirit and into the flesh. Hallelujah. And when I move out of the flesh, and then out of the spirit, the devil hits me. And before you know it, you're in this verbal exchange. And you begin to feed the devil. Devil sucking life. Hello? Devil sucking life right out of you. Hallelujah. And you come out of it. You may have felt justified, but you are drained. Absolutely drained. And you know, some of us get physically ill.
Wow.
We get headaches. We get shortness of breath. We get chest pains. We get bone pains. We get back hurts. And then we wonder why we're feeling so bad. And then we go and we ask God to touch us. We rebuke this devil. Devil, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Get out of my back. Get out of my head. Well, if that were the case, you'd probably end up getting out of the house. We're so ignorant of the spiritual reality of the environment that we are living in. We are so ignorant of our spiritual vulnerabilities. We are pretty well much self-assured and of our strength, our ability to see, our ability to hear, our ability to understand. Hallelujah. Brother Dusiel used to say to me, he says, Brother Burr, if somebody comes up to you and says that he thinks you're a dog, you just say, tell me about it. And then he said, and pray for the strength to hear it. Somebody comes up to you and says, you're arrogant, you're obnoxious, and I can't tolerate you, I can't stand you. And that's bad enough, right? Huh? Right there, that's bad enough, but then you say, tell me about it. And all of a sudden he got a list, he pulled out his list. I had a person come to me one day, and I asked him, I said, okay, what is it that you have against me? They opened the book. They opened the notebook. And I had to pray for an Advil on my own. Hallelujah. And I said, all right, tell me. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So on and so on and so on. And you know, the more he was telling me, you know how it is. Oh, that one is not so bad. I can handle that one. Next one. Well, that is a little bit of that. Oh, no, I am not that at all. And then I go, no way! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can't afford it. I have a right to go to God. I have an access by which I might enter into God's presence. And I take the petition. I said to him, can I have a copy of that? I want a copy of it. Can I have a copy of it? Yes, you can have a copy. So they give me a copy and I take it home and I lay it on the altar. Huh? And I said to God, God, if there's anything in this letter that is justifiable or true, I want to know about it. Did you hear me? And then the finger of God comes. And it begins to dig down into the inner parts of my soul. And some of the things he says, yes, no, yes, yes, yes. I said, wait a minute, God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And then I have the responsibility to go before God and say, God, fix it.
Amen.
I can't fix it, but you can fix it.
Amen.
Fix it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And all hell breaks loose. All hell breaks loose. In my family, with my children, with my home, with my wife, with me, in my community, in the church, all hell breaks loose. And what God is looking for
says to be tempted is not sin, but it's the yielding to the temptation that brings sin and death. Hallelujah. So I have to have that position of vulnerability. And as I feel the anger or the resentment or the bitterness or the grief or the whatever it may be within my soul, depression wants to rise up within me, I have to go down to God in fasting and prayer and say, I will not be offended. I won't be offended. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want to tell you something else. That I have the power of creation. Did you know that?
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah.
I have the power of creation. It's been given to me by virtue of the commission that was given to Adam in the very beginning and was demonstrated by the life of Jesus Christ as he walked on this earth. He had the power over creation.
Right.
If you don't have the power of creation, you don't have the power over creation. Hallelujah. In virtue of the power to create, you have the power over it, that which you have created.
Oh, yes.
I have the power of creation. And I can create something good, or I can create something evil. And I go to my wife, and I begin to tell her all about my grievances. And because she is close to me, she left me. The hurt that I feel, she begins to feel. But one problem, she may not have the strength to counsel me in the right way. She may not have the counsel to deal with it in the right manner. So I have just created something in my life that I am responsible for in its creation. Hallelujah. And she may go out to this child and this child and this child and begin to tell all of the negative things. Hallelujah. Pertaining to the event. And they may not have the spiritual maturity to resist it. And to counsel. And to bring the word of God against it. And the thing that I created within her is now creating another issue, another line, in hooking up to another faction and bringing it together in a creation. The creation is not yet formulated. It's not yet solidified. Hello. They begin to talk about it in their home over breakfast. Hello. And the children hear. You know, your children hear things that they shouldn't hear. And because they're children, you don't think that they're hearing or they understand. But I want to tell you something. The devil is a whole lot smarter than you are. And he knows that that child can hear. He knows what that child can comprehend. And he knows what to do with it when that child hears it. It's like a seed that goes from me to them. Hallelujah. And then the devil comes along and begins to nurture it. Hallelujah. You know, there is something to be said about the sins that are passed down from one generation to another generation to another. How are they passed down? And we're all guilty. Oh, yes. I got 20 grandchildren from 3 months to 17 years, right? Well, she's 8 months now. 8 months to 17. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm in their homes, and I hear them talking about certain things, and I see the children running around, the baby in the arms, and they're talking. It's what I did with my children. Hello? Hallelujah. We are building a machine. We are, you know, you pray, you say in the Bible, it says, that the weapon that is formed against me shall not prosper. Brother and sister, you can pray that all day long, but if you're building the machine, if you're facilitating the weapon, your prayer is in vain. Hallelujah. Your prayer is in vain. Hallelujah. And sometimes the machine gets bigger than we are. And we get it out of our control. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And sometimes the machine turns around to devour you. Hallelujah. He says, be careful. That you what? Don't bite and devour one another. Hello? Hallelujah.
Amen.
I have an expression. When the conversation starts to drift a certain way, I said, let's not go that way. I say to the brother, I don't want to go that direction. Don't want to go that way. I don't want to talk. Let's not think that way. Let's go a different direction. Huh? Hallelujah. I was in Sierra Leone
last year, maybe. Was it April you called me in Sierra Leone?
Pretty good.
It was April. I've been thinking of it last year.
I was in Sierra Leone, and
this was in April that I was there. Was it this year or was it last year? This year.
I was in Sister Geraldine's house, and the Lord was taking me. The best way I can explain it in some places is out of the body. Whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. Hallelujah. And one night, he got me up out of bed. He took me out on the landing, down the stairs, and I went down into the living room there, in that home that I was staying. And all of a sudden, I was no longer in that home or in that room. I was in the strategy room of hell, the war room. There was a big oval table, and there were the devil was sitting up here at one end, because, and I knew that he was the devil because I've seen him on a number of times before. He's always dressed the same way. Sometimes I think that's the only suit of clothes he has. But it really tells me he was dressed very expensive. He had good leather patent shoes. The shiny ones, you know. He had a silk suit, business suit, very expensive. He had he was a very good looking man. He was dark complected. Hallelujah. Had the gold stuff on him, you know, shirt open at the neck. All those good things that men like to do, you know. Huh? Hallelujah. Probably if I got close enough to him, I could probably tell you he probably smelled like such and such a cologne too. But there were also his princes. In and amongst the princes, there were men. Humans. Men. They had been summoned to come to this council meeting. They had been summoned to come because of a crisis situation. There, at that particular time, there was a contingent of brothers, our believers, that were coming from Nigeria, going into Central Africa in a campaign against hell. And there was also my visit to Sierra Leone and some of the brothers here coming from here, going to Sierra Leone. And it was a red alert meeting. It was a crisis situation because they were aware of the damage
that it was going to create or that it was creating. And they were trying to determine what they could do about it. But one of the most interesting things about the whole situation is that on the table, there were stacks of files and folders. And each of those folders, it was information about governments, information about countries, information about people. Hello? Hallelujah. Information concerning the most intricate things of everyone's life and the operation of governments and economies. Hello? Now, this information was not necessarily like in paper form. I'm much aware that it was like it was being distributed like electronically. It would be like each person or each spirit that was at the table as they began to talk about a certain country or a certain person, all that information was going out to the individuals at the table. Hallelujah. And it was about your weaknesses, about the weaknesses, the positions, the place. They knew what colors you like, what colognes you wear, what kind of clothes you wear, what your styles are, what your habits are, what your wants are, what your diswants are, your life, your dis, everything about everything. Hallelujah. And they did not have it just on one generation. They had it on several generations. Hallelujah. And at the end of the table, in a pile, all by itself, was a stack of files about this high. I was a little surprised when I found out what they were, that it wasn't more. But it was all of the people who were working toward to achieve the objective of becoming sons of God. So you had a file all of your own. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And they had all the information about you. They had it back 2, 3, 4 generations. They knew what had been covered by blood, what had not been covered by blood. They knew the maladies and the weaknesses of your flesh. They knew what buttons to press, when to press them, how to press them. And they were discussing those issues as to what they could do to stop the havoc that was being created within the realm of the Spirit with the ministration of the Word at that time frame. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something that I know by the Spirit, that while I was there, I got the news that David Wilkerson had been killed. David Wilkerson was a retaliatory action of hell against the onslaught of the Word against hell here in Africa. Sure, Emmett, you don't have to believe me. But all I'm telling you is the truth. Hallelujah. David Wilkerson was called as a prophet to the end time church. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? Hallelujah. He was called as a prophet to the end time church. No man of God should die the way that David Wilkerson died. Did you hear me? His car leaves the road, goes across the median, into the other oncoming traffic, runs head on into a truck and trailer rig. No man of God should die that way. Did you hear me? No man of God should die that way. Hallelujah. But there was something in David Wilkerson. Do you know that we tried to get to David Wilkerson early on? In the beginning. Did you know that we, Brother Lucille, myself, Brother Sonmore, tried to get to David Wilkerson? Brother Sonmore, Clay Sonmore. He knew Brother Wilkerson. Brother Wilkerson knew Clay Sonmore. And we tried to get to him with this message. Hallelujah. And he wrote us off. Because he had been involved or had come in contact with some group that had called themselves sons of God, and who were not even Christian. Hallelujah. So he threw the baby out with the bathwater. Hallelujah. But that did not divorce him from his position or his place as far as God is concerned. And so therefore he became the target. David Wilkerson, in the last few ministry years of his ministry, has begun to put his finger on the sin that was in the ecclesiastical system. Hallelujah. If you're not in a body that can cover you in the administration of that ministry, you become vulnerable. You become open. And the devil will take advantage of it. And you know what? Now this may sound a little presumptuous, but what happened to David Wilkerson was a warning to me. Hello? Hallelujah. Because the devil does not want the prophetic ministry in the body.
That's right.
I didn't say I was a prophet. The devil does not want the prophetic ministry in the body. Because the prophetic ministry digs down into the nitty-gritty of our personal lives.
Yes.
Touches the things that we don't want touched. Exposes those things that we don't want uncovered. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the devil wants to put the eyes of the body out. As he blinded Samson.
Yes.
Hello? Hallelujah. And put him to grinding corn. Hallelujah. Put him into the church. Put him involved in church things. Put him involved in church business. Hallelujah. Grinding corn for the Philistines. Grinding corn, having church for the sake of the devil. You know, the devil got into church a long time ago. Hallelujah. And the devil is now in the Holy Ghost Church.
Oh, yes.
The devil is now in the Holy Ghost Church. We have a word. Hallelujah. That says, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I heard another voice, verse 4, chapter 18, Revelation, from heaven say, come out of her, my people.
Oh, yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, yeah.
Come out of her, my people. That means, repent! Repent! David said, search me. Oh God, are you daring enough? Are you desirous enough to ask God to search you? Hallelujah. Hebrews, Jeremiah 17 says that the heart is deceitfully wicked. You think I know my own heart? No. I think my heart is good. I think my heart is okay. I think my heart is loving you. I think my heart is loving God. Hallelujah. But oh, there has yet something in my heart that God has not yet exposed.
Yes.
Some hatred, some bigotry, some aspect of my humanity, some murderous thought, some thought, actions, or disposition of manner or character that is totally inconsistent with God.
Hallelujah. Paul said it. He says, I bring my body. Did you hear him? I bring my body. How does he bring his body? You think it was by an act of his will or a set of circumstances? Huh? Hallelujah. He brought his body under subjection when he appealed to Caesar. Huh? Festus says, Paul, did you not know? Had you not appealed to Festus, or to Caesar, we could have released you. You don't think Paul didn't know the law? Do you think Paul thought that Caesar was going to justify him? Hallelujah. Do you remember the prophecy? Habakkuk? Yes. The prophet prophesied, he whose girdle this is, so shall he be bound and be carried off to Jerusalem, and the brethren tried to dissuade him. Hallelujah. But he said he would not be dissuaded, but he would fulfill the obligation of submission that was to be the portion of his release. Hallelujah. You know, at that point, he made a decision not to accept deliverance for the hope of a better resurrection. Yes. Hallelujah!
Yes.
How much more should you and I be not just walking in Jesus' footsteps, but walking even as Paul walked. Bringing his body into a place of subjection. Hallelujah. Brethren, there is nothing that God is not going to touch. Nothing. There was a word that the Lord brought me in 2009. Hallelujah. And it was a word that was found in Hebrews. Hallelujah. Hebrews. The 11th chapter, I believe. Or maybe it's the 12th chapter. Yes, it's the 12th chapter. Hallelujah. 12th chapter, 23rd verse. To the general assembly, the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that sprinkleth, that speaketh better things than that of Abel, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For he, if they escape not, who refuse him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we should turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now hath promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also the heavens. And this word, yet once more, signifying the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore we receive the kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably, and reverence and godly fear, for God is a consuming fire.
Hallelujah. God spoke to me in 2009 that He was going to shake the heavens, and He was going to shake the earth, and He was also going to shake the heavens. Well, there's a validation of the shaking of the earth because we have the increasing of earthquakes, and the magnitude of them began in 2009, and they've been increasing ever since. And the shaking of heaven is especially pertinent to this body of people.
It was 2009, right?
It was 2009 that Brother Lucille went home to be with the Lord. And then all hell started breaking loose. I hadn't had a vision.
25 years ago.
It was in the early days. We were up in Wisconsin. I'm sharing with you this vision because I think it's actually coming to pass now. We were in a meeting in this little place. It was very cold. Snow and ice outside. We were in a meeting. The Spirit of God was flowing, and all of a sudden I went into a vision. And in the vision, Brother and Sister Ducille were standing at the back of the meeting. It was a room like this, not quite as big as this one, maybe half the size, and the door was off to the left there in the corner. And the meeting was going on, and Brother and Sister Ducille were standing by the door, and they had their coats on, they had their scarf on, and he had that hat he always wears. And Sister was all dressed up in her nice warm and thick coat. And Sister was on his right side. They were facing the wall, looking at the back of the congregation. And when I had the vision, I didn't quite understand it. I understand it very well now. But they were standing there, and Mavis kind of went back across the room, looking at the different people, and then she stepped out the door. And Brother Ducille hesitated. He stood there for a moment, just a space of time, and as he was standing there, it was like he was saying goodbye. And he took one last look, and it seemed as though he looked right at me. And then he stepped out the door.
My God.
When he stepped out the door closed. I heard it close. Pandemonium. Pandemonium broke out. Everybody rushing for the pulpit. Everybody rushing to the front trying to get. They were knocking people down, fighting within themselves, trying to get to the pulpit, the place of preeminence. Hallelujah. I think it's a dream that is a vision that is pertinent for now. Because I see it happening.
Yes.
Hallelujah. The Bible says that let every man therefore examine himself. Huh? Hallelujah. God bless you.